This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
See that game last night at all?
No, not yet.
Man, that fan fucked with Chris Paul.
I did see that.
Completely.
Dude.
Shut his ass down. I've never seen a fan directly affect the player and the like that before, ever.
Okay, what point of the game did that happen? Because I saw the thing on ESPN.
Well, but it happened throughout the game because there was physical contacts, there was pushing, there was shoving.
There was all that.
There was, oh yeah, yeah. Or at least that's what they're claiming, which again I 100% believe because Dallas isn't.
So I saw Chris Paul fouled out, right? Was it after he fouled out that he confronted the fan or not?
No, the fan got thrown out before.
Okay.
But it was quite obvious what was going on beforehand. It wasn't like, oh, that's weird. I mean, you could tell that he kept on looking back, you know, like kept on talking to security guards. Like, you could tell, like, he was bothered by what was happening with the fans. It was Mother's Day.
Yeah.
You know, like, his wife and the kids and his mom were there. That's, like, straight up disrespect. Like, I mean, I get it if it's a normal day, but on Mother's Day, to fuck with the mothers like that?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I mean, the whole section started clapping when the guy got thrown out.
Yeah.
So, like, stupid white guy, man. Seriously.
He looked like a little boy, and then he stood up.
Yeah. I was like, babyface, that guy really created that much of an issue? And then was like, oh, no, that guy's... I get that.
Yeah, dude. He didn't have any friends left.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you want to be known. But after that, though, he's not going to... The NBA would probably throw him out and make it so that NBA... He's not allowed to go to any more NBA games. We've seen that happen before where teams are like, oh, yeah, it's just our fans.
Dude, so that series is all tied up. And then the other series, Miami and Philadelphia, tied up at 2.
That's all tied up.
I didn't see that game last night. What happened there?
Harden played crazy, man. Like, it wasn't that, like, he played out one of those amazing games, 31 points, right? But it was the 9 assists that he had.
Yeah.
Like, they were beautiful, beautiful passes. And that's what I went back to. It was like, if, you know, this whole 2 games of Embiid being out actually ends up helping them. Because, you know, through all this pressure on James, like, who knows, man?
Yeah, dude.
You got Milwaukee and Celtics. You got 2-1. Milwaukee's up. That was a pretty big controversial call right there, man. That was... I went back and I just watched it over and over and over again. I don't know if you saw it, but I mean, what the hell, dude? Like, calling a game and making the game come to that moment like that, where you call a pansy foul like that, like, whatever. It's like, it's frustrating because all season you see them, like, pull their whistles back on, like, dinky fouls, you know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, there we go.
So, with 8 teams left, bro, you feel like you got any idea who's going to make it to the finals?
Man, I was saying Suns the whole freaking time, but man, they can't put away Dallas. That's scary. On the other side, you've got Golden State. You know, like, what's happening there?
When they play good, dude, they play great.
What?
I mean, when it's going well for Golden State, it really is.
Yeah, but I feel like sometimes they're just running up against a brick wall. But with the Grizzlies, the only thing that could save them is the fact that Poole grabbed Morant's knee like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
what do you think about that? Do you think it was like...
Dude, the ball was right there. Like, man, here's the thing. There's 2 places that when there's loose ball, anything's possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the places are when the point guard has the ball and there's a trap, mid-court, you know, like there was, right? And they had him trapped, but they had two guys on him going crazy. And I think that's where the whole issue comes in, is that this that loose ball right there grabbed his knee, whatever. I don't even know if that's where the injury came from. But the other place I talk about all the time is in the post, man. It's a dirty, dirty place in the post, especially when there's loose ball on the ground. Like, I've seen so many guys that come up with, you know, broken noses and bloody lips, and all because he just dove at the wrong time. So, again, do I think it was a dirty play? No, I don't. I just think it was a hustle play. And hustle plays, unfortunately, people get fucked up on hustle plays sometimes. Usually, you know, it's the person that's doing the hustle play that gets fucked up, not the other way around.
So here's the thing.
What do you think, man?
With Ja hurt, right, can the Grizzlies get a win without Ja? Now, I know he'll probably play. I don't know. He might be out.
Dude, they beat us by 70 without Ja.
Right, so they can do it. Will they do it? If they do it, though, then, you know, it's going to be a hell of a series, you know, a three-game series. But out of the two series that at this point are tied at two, so they're both three-game series left, who do you think has the advantage? Like the Phoenix, Dallas, and the Miami, Philly series. Which ones do you think are?
Wow. I'll say this. I think Philly.
Philly's got the advantage.
Has the advantage. And I always say any team that has won two games in a row, whether it's at their home or not, has the advantage. I really, really look at Philly as, you know, their pieces haven't been working together.
Yeah.
But we just got a glimpse of what happens when their pieces work together last night.
Yeah.
And if they can do that consistently, and Doc Rivers is one of the best coaches at pulling the best out of these players. So, yeah, man, I think Philly has a legit chance to go on some crazy six-game win streak and put themselves in the finals more than any other team.
What about the Suns and Dallas?
Yeah, see, that's where I get concerned is – Chris Paul, right? That incident, is he's going to be able to move on from that? Number two, could it be an injury that he only scored 5 points in? Like, there's so much questions that I have with that I'm really stepping back and I'm trying to figure it out. You know, like, can the Suns win without 100% Chris Paul healthy? Yes. Will they? I don't know. What do you think, man? That's a kind of a weird question to...
Well, I mean, like, with Dallas, it's been crazy because, like, Luka started the playoffs, like, on the bench.
Cold.
Right? And now we're watching him really take over a series, and it's only been two games where they've won, but those two games have been enough where, like, here's the thing about Jason Kidd, right? Like, he's been able to tell the other guys through the media, right? But also in the locker room, but I was concerned when he was like, we need other guys to step up. Like, is that really going to be the most effective way? Like, these guys, you kind of know what you're going to get from them. They weren't living up to the best, but it's kind of like he was trying to motivate them to be better than what they had ever been before, which can be a scary thing to do, but it worked. So Jason Kidd's got the other guys playing at a higher level than they've ever played before. And Luke is playing at his peak, which he can, you know, kind of do forever because he's Luka. And like the Suns, I feel like if they landed two really hard punches against Dallas, and Dallas had turned around and landed a couple of hard ones, I feel like Phoenix probably are more likely to have a glass jaw at this point. And I don't know how they're going to be able to pick themselves up off the mat. So I think Dallas has probably taken, you know, they're probably the favorites in that series. So in this situation, but bro,
if there's one coaching staff and one veteran player that could turn everybody around, that's, you know, the Suns coaching staff with the way that he has those players all tuned in, and also Chris Paul at that leadership position. I mean, if I'm looking at the other eight teams in the playoffs right now, I'm saying game 7, game 6, which is guaranteed here with the Mavericks now. Like, there's no better person on my bench or on my lineup than Chris Paul.
True. But Phoenix has shown.
Man, I want Chris Paul to win it so bad this year, man. I really do. You
they
know?
Need to play from ahead. That's how, and that's the thing. They had the series where they were, you know, if they could have got a 3-1 with one of these two wins, and they could have played it from ahead. Now, it's a tough spot because if they fall behind 3-2, I have no confidence in Phoenix being able to overcome that. Whereas if Dallas loses, I feel like they could win two in a row and pull it off.
Who's the four teams that you see making it to the conference finals?
Right now, I think both number one seeds are going to get knocked out. So Dallas, Phoenix, and then honestly, I feel like Boston is on the verge of putting it together. Now, they've got to, got to turn it around, but I'm going to go ahead and go with Boston. And as much as I feel like this could be Memphis's turn, the questions with Ja make me say like it's going to be the Warriors this year. So, Boston and Golden State making it to the conference finals from the games that would come up on Monday. But I think that it's one of the best years I can think of where you're sitting here and there's really no idea which way any of this will go. But the Memphis Golden State Warriors, that seems a little bit more tilted toward Golden State, especially with the questions about Ja. But other than that, I don't know, man. What do you think about the Boston-Milwaukee series? Like, that's been a hell of a series.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you're looking at Game 4 coming up here tonight at 7:30 Eastern. So, yeah, man, I'm excited about this. You know, obviously the Bucks are up 2-1, but after this last incident, what else do you want to call it, where Boston just feels like they got fucked, they're going to come out on fire, bro. I mean, they're going to come out all pistols ready to go. I'm excited about that because if Celtics can come out showing that they're really, really fucking pissed off at the Bucks home, they have a chance to go up, you know, 3-2 by game 6. So, you know what? I mean, I'm all for Boston doing this, but they need some straight up passion and desire to win. And that's where you're going to see either Tatum, you know, flare out and Brown flare out, or they're going to step up to the occasion and really do some amazing things. They are against the defending champions, so with the Bucks. So, man, that's hard. If it's me looking at it right now, I'm looking at the four teams that are going are the Bucks, Philly, for the East, and I'm all about the Suns right now. I really am, even though two losses and Golden State. I think those are the four teams that would be great. Now, do I want to be greedy and see teams like Dallas and Memphis Grizzlies, like Boston Celtics, and I don't know, throw in the 76ers, all young teams to get a chance to win a championship? Man, I'm all for that. So if that happens, like, I'm not going to be disappointed because, you know, I'm over this whole Oklahoma City Thunder is out of the playoffs now. Like, I'm not watching Oklahoma City Thunder basketball right now, and it sucks, but watching these teams compete gets me really amped up about us being able to watch the Oklahoma City Thunder in the very, very near future in these playoff games, because I want to see what Shea can do. I want to see what, you know, Trey, and I want to see what Dort, and I want to see what all these guys can do, and Josh Giddey in the playoffs. Like, throw these guys in the playoffs. Let's see what they can do, because do I think that they could pull something off like Memphis or Dallas as a young team? Hell yeah, I do, man. And to me, it's inspirational when you see these young teams like this, and I just want to, you know, throw it out there that these young guys that we have on our team, when we get to the playoffs, are going to be ready to go, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun year to look at it and say, like, there's a chance that there could be no one seeds or even two seeds in the conference finals. Like, and that if that something like that happens, like, it's impossible not to argue like that your team has a chance even from the 4 or the 5 seed to make it to the conference finals. And that's pretty cool. So, you know, definitely digging it. I think we've got a lot like to look forward to in the future. Obviously, like, one of the things that's been really exciting about these games has been the energy from the crowd. And I think it's been almost borderline finals-esque. I think all of these games where the fans had missed over the last couple of years, like, are making everybody just get out there and really appreciate the moment. And like, every arena, like, it just feels like Like, they understand the importance of every playoff game in a way that maybe didn't happen before all this COVID shutdown, the fans being able to go to the games and the bubble and all that stuff. So I just feel like the youth in this league, you know, the fact that even Golden State has a new arena, all that kind of plays into we're seeing, like, a new level of intensity from the fans where they're just buying into the moment and they're giving it all they can. And I'm looking forward to seeing the Thunder, you know, and what we can look like with fresh energy, because, like, let's face it, we saw so many great games, we got a bit complacent. So whenever we get back to that level, I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, bro, let's go ahead and take a minute to do some NBA draft lottery simulators. All right, we got a minute, right? We got 8 days until the draft lottery. So, you know, we've got the 4th best lottery odds and the 12th best lottery odds. So I'm excited about hitting the simulate button, bro. I haven't done it all year, but a week away, it's about time. It's going to obviously fuck up all of our anticipation, because as soon as we hit this, we're going to be like, fuck, dude, I hope we get that. And whatever it is, we're not going to get it. You know that. So you ready, bro?
Yeah, man. I mean, we have 8 days, 7 hours, 53 minutes.
You got
according to this clock right now. I have I got tankathon.com for the one I'm using. What are you using?
That's about the only one that I know of, bro.
Cool.
So let's do it, bro.
All right. I'll go ahead. We'll pull push Sim and then tell us what the top three picks are. Cool.
All right, bro. All right, it doesn't take that long. What do you think, bro?
All right, so, yeah, man, I'm sitting at Oklahoma City, number one, New York Knicks, number two, Orlando, number three, Portland, number four, Houston, five, Detroit, six, Indiana, seven, Sacramento, eight, Pelicans at nine, San Antonio, well, we're at 12, so it doesn't really matter where the rest of them all are. Right. So
1-12. 1-12, bro.
First time. I'm telling you, I get luck sometimes on these things, bro.
I'm not going to even say mine. We'll just leave it at 1-12 and we'll move
forward. No. You got to tell you the other side of the coin, bro. Come on.
3-12. So.
Oh, that's not bad then.
All right. So, all right. Go with it with 1-12, bro. You got to pick the number one pick. With the number one pick, you pick.
I pick trading number one for number three and picking up Jabari at number three, along with future first rounds.
All right, so
I'm doing what the Celtics did a few years back.
All right, so you're going to get a future, like the 2023 draft, you think?
Yeah, I definitely 2023, probably an additional one or two. You got 2023 unprotected, and then additional one or two after that that are protected. But yeah, I think I would love to see Chet Holmgren on this team. I think he's an amazing player. But I'm looking at for the future of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm looking at the fits for this Thunder team. I would love to go with Jaden, but if we have the number one and we're trading back to number three, you know, Jaden would fit our team perfectly. So I wouldn't be upset with number three, Jaden, instead of Jabari. But you know what? I mean, I'm just saying, push comes to shove, there's more value in trading back than picking up Chet, who really, as much as everybody loves him, he's kind of an unknown quantity of what's he going to be like? Who's going to be like? Is he going to be one of those greats that the Oklahoma City Thunder will regret not picking, or is he going to be another Greg Odom? As simple as that.
All right, so if I had the number one pick, I'm going to go with Jabari Smith, and I'm going to keep it.
Straight up, Jabari? I like
it.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's worth it.
Why not? He's like,
all right.
I don't know. You don't see players like him at 6'10", like his ability to shoot from the outside very often.
The way he can score and stuff, no doubt.
He's got so many levels. And yeah, I mean, the whole Chet, like, I get it. But like, if you're trying to like get a project, you kind of want a project that's undervalued. You don't want to pay like, you know, finished prices for a project, you know, like
true.
That's kind of one of the things about Chet is like, yeah, I mean, he's got such a big upside, but how long will it take to reach that? Whereas, like, I don't know. I feel like Jabari is like Chris Webber with a three-point shot, or like he's smoother an athlete. He's kind of like, I hate comparing people to KD, but like that's what you have to do. Like he's not KD level perimeter orientated, but he does have so much to his game that I just feel like when else are you gonna get a chance at a player like him? But
and he plays that center power forward position,
right? But he's like, you know, in that modern NBA, like small forward is a position that he'll have a chance to easily defend and play all three positions. And
oh yeah,
that's like the modern NBA is built for small forwards. And I feel like he's kind of like, I don't know. He is the obvious choice to me to be able to be an all-star like more than five times. Like,
yeah.
But I don't see anybody else who's
that. I see him and Jaden out of this draft, maybe Shaden, as being the three players that get the most all-star games. With all due respect to Chet and Paolo, I could be so far off with this. I would love to have Chet on our team. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, to have a player like him would be truly spectacular. But when I think about Chet, I see in the back of my mind, Greg, you know, Odom, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
played like 75 games in the NBA, unbelievable player when he played, like truly unbelievable.
So who's the KD of that, of the draft then, if he's Odin?
That's Jabari, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's, to me, that's why I'm picking Jabari, you know, like that's the guaranteed all-star player in this, like, first three. And if we got number one, that's what I'm saying is, like, we're either taking him there, you know, at number one, Chet at number one, or we're taking Chet and trading him back to the player that we want and draft picks.
All right, so you already said what you would do with, if you had the number one pick, you would trade back to the number three and you'd go with Shaden. So with that in mind, we'll go ahead and skip my first lottery run. And
no, I just pushed resimulate, and I got one that's worth talking about.
Me too. So you go first.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are not Oklahoma City. We end up with what we did last year at number 6. And I'm picking Shaden.
Of course you are. You're like, you pick him at 3, and you're like, I think I can get him at 6.
No, Shaden. Shaden, not 3. I said Jaden.
Oh, you said Jaden at 3.
Yeah, I said Jaden or Jabari at 3.
Oh, okay.
And Shaden, I think, will be still available at 6.
Okay. So,
I know it's confusing. My bad.
That's all good. It's just a syllable different. But here we go. We got the 6th pick. Who are we going to pick with the 6th pick if we get that? I'm thinking, I don't know, man. I feel like there's a good chance we could really feel like the best player available would be like Johnny Davis for some reason.
Yeah,
I like it's weird because I feel like he'll be available.
What about AJ Griffin?
But would you rather Johnny Davis or AJ Griffin?
AJ Griffin.
That simple?
That simple.
All right.
Johnny Davis is a great shooter, unbelievable. So is AJ Griffin. But AJ Griffin's length, size, everything else like that to me. Coach K, you know he's going to go out there with a good attitude and playing hard. AJ Griffin, if Shaden's off the board at 6, AJ Griffin.
All right. I mean, I think you could be right, but here's the thing about, I don't know.
No, tell me about Johnny Davis. Why would you pick Johnny Davis? Because, like, I'm very curious about that.
Because, to me, his form and the way, like, his mechanics speak to more of a pure shooter. And while AJ Griffin shot extremely well from behind the arc, I don't know, like, will that translate to the NBA? And I think there's more questions right now because Johnny Davis' size, will his game translate? But if he can, like, that guy has a chance of being really special. He could be, like we said, a Bradley Beal type. And I feel like for AJ Griffin, there have been other players like him who have had trouble really transitioning to the NBA, right? Like, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but like sometimes guys go really high, they've got all the like tools, but they can't put together an NBA game. So that's my question about him. He probably, he projects to be at least a couple time All-Star at his peak. So
yeah,
I wonder about that. But I also think at Johnny Davis's peak, he could lead the NBA in scoring. But will he, translate to the Beal level player? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I get that same vibe I got from Klay Thompson when he was coming out. Everybody was wondering if he had what it took. I felt like he did. I felt like he was going to be a great player. Jerry West that stuck his whole career on Klay Thompson, said, if you don't draft this guy, then I'm done. I'm just fucking leaving.
Yeah.
Right? So, to me, that's what I would... I mean, Johnny Davis, to me, is that type of player. He has that shot. He has that way of dominating. I call him, the Devin Bookers of the draft. I could see that. I really could see that. I don't know. I think it's the debate that we're going to have is, I just did the simulator again, right? And we picked up the fourth pick for the Los Angeles Clippers and the seventh pick with our pick, it's insane. This could go any which way. So there's definitely an opportunity that our pick is the sixth or seventh pick and then the Clippers pick is in the top four. And if that's the case, then yeah, we're looking at somebody like Johnny Davis. We're looking at somebody like AJ Griffin incredibly, very closely, because they'll be our second player on that board. As a first player on the board, I don't know, man. I look at how we have picked with Russ and KD, James Harden, Josh Giddey. Do I see those guys, any of those guys being that player? And AJ Griffin's great, but if I had to say that there's one player in this draft that has that potential at number six or seven to really step up and be a top, top four player, top three player, as far as shooting goes, then yeah, that's Johnny Davis, man. I think he has that potential of being a top tier shooter in the league.
Yeah. And I'm betting you, we're going to look back and be like, dude, it was totally AJ Griffin the whole time. And we talked ourselves into it because, Johnny Davis is really good at playing college ball. There's really no way to tell for sure right now. Obviously, people who know, who watched a lot of this shit, probably know what they're talking about. And they put an AJ Griffin in front. And I think he's got more of that NBA look to him. But that's cool, man.
I just look at AJ Griffin's game molding into the Oklahoma City Thunder very, very quickly. Yeah. I'm not saying that Johnny Davis's game won't mold, because that will be a sick game to watch. I mean, pure shooter from the corner. But I just look at AJ Griffin's all-round game and the way he stepped up the second half of the season. I don't know. I get excited about those type of players.
Yeah.
Any type of player that can learn how to step it up in the second half of the season, that means they have that winning factor, And if you see them take it up another notch, that's something that is really impressive and what gets you drafted a lot. These guys that are, they do really good during a season, and all of a sudden it comes to, playoff time or, whatever, March Madness, they come out and they just dominate. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, is they went from, the 20th pick to all of a sudden a top five pick. And it happens a lot because it's closing time. You need to see a guy that can dominate when it really truly matters.
Yeah. And, a lot of overreactions to the tournament, but there's also a lot of coming out parties where you look back and you say, that was where this great player, first made their name for themselves. So, it's tough to tell exactly what's happening at any given time, but it is fun to watch. And I'm definitely fascinated with finding out who the fuck we get or where we're going to be picking from. And then we're going to have a month to, really speculate, try to figure out a little bit more, dig a little bit deeper into kind of the ranges that we're looking at. We've talked about quite a few players, but we've kind of jumped around based on the pick order that we are projected at right now. So there are a lot of guys that we've missed, but we'll get back to them.
Yeah. Once we figure out where our pick lands, truly lands in this lottery, we'll be really able to dissect. We're in that position where we want to be greedy, and we're going to have a lot of these in the next few years. We get Heat's pick unprotected, I think, next year or whatever it is. We get a number of picks down the road. Denver's pick next year as well, first round. So, like, we're going to have all these opportunities to break down players like this. But to me, this is going to be our last time that we're going to have two picks that are lottery picks for a number of years. I mean, we could end up seeing it in 2024 or 2025. But this is unique, man. I'm excited. I really am, because we could end up with the 12th and 6th pick, and Sam Presti takes those two picks and moves it up to number 4, number 3. You know, like, you know, we could move up in the draft, or, you know, we end up with the picks that we want. We end up with number 1, and we end up with number 4, or whatever combination. That would be insane to have. That would be really, really fun to be able to sit back and be like, okay, what is the wet dream of this draft? Because that to me would be fun. But again, I don't know necessarily if that's going to happen. So there's no reason to get carried away with it. So, you know, 12 and 6 to me are great picks to have for this year's draft. Yeah, that doesn't give us that elite player that people would say we need to yet, but it gives us these picks that we can pick players to develop. And that's what's fun.
Yeah, and it's going to be really, you know, fun to like try to figure out the direction that Sam Presti sees the team going in based on the picks we go with, because, you know, then that's a whole different thing. And right after the draft, we get the summer league like almost immediately. So that's going to be really fun. We may not get to see all these guys, but we'll get to see some Thunder guys. And, you know, whoever we end up picking, I mean, we got three picks, bro. Three picks in the first round. And we project anywhere from the first pick we could land, you know, to somewhere like in the top 5-7 range, all the way to the 30th pick. So we really do have to be spread out all across this draft. And it was fun last year. It was similar, but this year it's a little bit different, and it looks to be pretty busy over the next, you know, 6, 7, 8 years at least. So it's going to be fun. So we have to really kind of pay attention. But you said in a prior podcast that this was really going to be the last year that we could realistically hope to land in the top 5. So with that said, that kind of goes back to why if I had the number 1 pick, I'm going to take Jabari Smith, because when is the next time you're going to get a chance at a player at his level? And, you know, it's obviously not going to be anytime soon, but, you know, there are other guys that are at a really high level, and you'd have to make a really good argument for trading back, you know, for either Jaden or Shaden. But depending on your situation, man, what an opportunity. This is a loaded draft, and Dave and I have talked about it before, but one thing that really pumps us up about this draft is how many guys we look at and we say they really fit into the Thunder system, and so many different types of players we feel like fit into the system. But it's not just, okay, these guys are incredibly talented, which they are, but it's also like, for some reason, it's really incredibly easy to imagine a number of these guys in a Thunder uniform. Whereas the last draft, it felt like Josh Giddey was really the only guy in that, you know, top 6 that I felt like was the guy that it just made sense. Here I'm like, man, like there's 5 guys in the top 5 that easily I could see work for us.
Yeah, that's why it's spectacular, man. I love this draft. I fall in love with it more and more as I start getting into it. That doesn't mean that every single one of these players are going to end up being top of the line players, but it does mean that this draft is special, and this draft needs to be looked at seriously. We've seen drafts like this before where they're like, oh, there's only a couple good players in this draft, but then all of a sudden you look back 5-6 years later and it's like, holy shit, that draft was loaded. That's to me is what we're seeing right here, especially the fact that we have the Thunder system really, really in key to exactly where they're trying to go. So yeah, man, like this is the draft to be greedy. This is the draft to start looking at and saying, is it possible to package some of our picks to move up closer to some of these players? Because you know, whether it's Jaden and Shaden or Jaden and, you know, Joka or whoever is on this team after this draft, man, it's going to be fun to see them develop. It's going to be fun to see how these guys really kind of embrace the Oklahoma City Thunder system And that's why, to me, I keep on looking at it as like, where, you know, Sam Presti says over and over again, like in every interview when it comes to draft, like, we're not drafting athletes, we're drafting individuals. And we're drafting the heart, right? We're drafting the soul. We're drafting these players that want to. So looking at that, there's a lot of those players in this draft. And that's what's phenomenal, man. Unlike a couple of years ago and last year where you said Josh Giddey was it for us. You know, after day one, we're like, Josh Giddey. Like, there's nothing like this here. And that's why we got to go back over and over again to what we have. Because, like, this year, it could be one of six players on our team. And any one of those six players is a win for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And Shaden is someone that we've talked about maybe falling to seven. But looking at the Ringer's mock draft, they've got him projected at number four going to the Kings. I think there's something to be said about that. I don't know, man. What do you think about that concept of... they also, by the way, have us picking at number two. So... what do you think about Shaden going as high as number four?
I believe it, especially if a team like Sacramento is sitting there and they don't get Jabari, they don't get Jaden, and they don't get Chet, right? And they don't feel like Paolo is it for them. I could see them going for Shaden and then Paolo going to number five for sure.
So if Paolo goes number five, then Jaden would be going, you're thinking, at three.
Yeah, he's not. Listen, Jaden's not going to make it past Detroit. Wherever Detroit's picking, he's not making it past Detroit. It doesn't matter if Detroit gets the second pick. Like, Jaden's their man. Like, Chet is their number one pick if they get the first pick. But I don't think they're getting the first pick this year. I could be wrong. I don't know anything. But that's the thing, is that Jaden's their man. He fits perfect in that system with Cade. Like, he's a done deal with Detroit. So whether we pick him at number two, if we get number two, Jaden, or Detroit picks him at number two or three, it doesn't matter. He's going in the top three, which automatically puts, you know, either Jabari or Paolo, you know, in that four spot, right? Which is insane to think and say, because it's always been these top three guys all season. And then, of course, if a team like Sacramento is like, we got our big man, we got our power forwards, we got everything we need, we want another guard. Of course they're going, or semi-guard, of course they're going to go and say, who's the best replacement for Harrison Barnes? And that player, hands down, would be Shaden.
So that 12th pick, bro, that one gets kind of, you know, confusing. There's a lot of guys that I'm not particularly familiar with in that range.
Dang. Has to be Dang, bro.
Well, the Ringer has us picking a wing from Kansas. Ochea, I don't know how to say his last name.
Yeah, he's good.
But I'm not going to try.
Yeah, it starts with an O.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that that's an interesting pick. And Dang going all the way to number 14.
I think Dang just fits what the Oklahoma City Thunder are liking, are doing, is they're picking foreign players that have incredible upside, you know, playing overseas that are young. Dang fits that perfect mold for what the Oklahoma City Thunder like. It doesn't mean, like, obviously Trey Mann gets drafted there at 16 for us or 18 for us, but I don't know, man. I'm kind of... It sounds so crazy to me, but I would rather get that fourth pick, man, at this point, you know?
Yeah.
That fourth pick... Like, that number two pick is awesome, and it's going to be amazing, because if we got number two, I mean, I would be going crazy. But to me, that fourth pick, there's going to be all this crazy insanity that's going to the top three picks, you know?
Yeah.
Like, true insanity. Number four allows us to get the player we want, whether that's Shaden. That could be, you know, crazy thing happens and Jaden slips to number four. It could be Paolo or even Jabari, they slip. Like, who truly knows? Like... Number four is that value spot this year, that kind of that sweet spot that I look at as number six was last year. Number four is that sweet spot this year.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, it seems like there's kind of been a real clear top five that's kind of developed, and people are kind of shuffling orders. But in the end, that sixth, you know, spot, it kind of goes Keegan Murray, AJ Griffin, those two guys kind of switch out in that spot, and kind of from there, you know, kind of a combination of guys are mixed in. And Jalen Duran, which we haven't covered him yet, but we need to. Johnny Davis, Benedict Mathurin. So we haven't covered him, but we covered Jeremy Sochan, and Jeremy's the guy I could see us getting from Baylor.
I like Jeremy.
He seems like he could definitely, you know, be the type of player we're looking for. But so there's some guys in there that we need to make sure we cover. But you know, it's interesting. You mentioned AJ Griffin, and I'm like, you know, there's a chance that he could be this year's James Harden. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean that's why I like him so much, is that it's that mystery scorer. You know, with James Harden, is that mystery scorer from Arizona. Like, that's what, to me, you know, AJ Griffin had to play the second fiddle this year at Duke, or third fiddle even, you could even say, depending on how you look at it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, when you have that like that, you have to step back and say, okay, how do I truly evaluate this player? You put the ball in this player's hands this amount of times, could he be better? And that's where I step back with AJ Griffin, is because, like, there were so many times that he was playing with inside the system that you didn't really get to see his flair, his, you know, what he could do. Yes, you got glimpses of it, but you didn't get a true grasp of it. Am I saying that if AJ Griffin played someplace else other than Duke, he would have done better? No, because you saw how Coach K was able to coach him up in the second half of the season. AJ Griffin and Johnny Davis are both of the guys I'd have to circle and say have the best potential to score 30 points, an average 30 points a game throughout the season. Those are the two guys that I would say in this entire draft class, I would have to give a nod to.
Man, it's easy.
Which is crazy saying.
What?
Which is crazy saying, because those are like, what, 6 and 9 or 8 and 9, you know?
Right.
So,
that makes me
to
think,
say that that's...
Maybe if we got a top four
pick. At where Klay Thompson went, bro. Huh? Klay Thompson wasn't a top five right. pick.
I mean, if we got in the top four, like, we could be looking at a team that maybe had two picks that were in the top 10, but none in the top five, you know? And, you know, if we think...
Would you pick both Johnny Davis and AJ Griffin if you could?
I like it. I think, like, the nice thing about Sam Presti is, you know, that he doesn't pay attention to anybody else's draft board. So, you know, Johnny Davis could be what he considers a top five prospect. I think there's no doubt AJ Griffin would be, because of his age and his, you know, ability. So if both those guys are top five, you know, prospects, and he's got the number four spot, like, I could see him moving back, grabbing the 6 and the 7 and doing something like that. So I say, as the lottery happens, keep an eye on teams that end up with two picks that are close to each other in the top 10 that maybe want to move into the top five, because we could be that route for them.
And listen, if we end up with that number one pick for some strange reason, I would love it if we got Chet, but I would love it more if we got stability for our future along with a great draft pick for next year. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. We saw what happened with the Celtics. You know, they traded with the 76ers so that 76ers could get Markieff Fultz, right? He was a sure thing that year. Everybody thought he was going to be the greatest. And, you know, Celtics had second guesses, and they fell in love with Tatum. And I think it kind of shows that was the best choice right there. And for Sam Presti to make a call like this would be truly spectacular. And he talks about it in interviews that they always look at moving up and down in the draft. It's something that's just, you know, inevitable. It just happens. So, again, man, this is fucking exciting, bro.
Yeah.
It's like 8 days. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's right there. And I feel like we're going to all know exactly what's going down and have a better idea of what the pick is going to be, I guess.
Yeah, man. And I feel like, you know, after last year, like, the number is, you know, it's obviously important, but, like, who our guy is, that's more important. And, you know, like, you look at the list of where Josh Giddey was projected at this point last year, like people were saying 10, 12, 14 in that range, you know. So we could be missing it. You know, we could totally be missing it. Outside of the top five, there's kind of like some questions, and we haven't looked at all those guys yet. So, you know, we're going to keep paying attention, but it's nice knowing that we're not cheering for the Knicks. They're not putting it together, and they're not Jerry Jones. They're not going to show everybody their draft board afterwards. Like, this team gives a fuck about doing it the right way.
That's it. Sam Presti, that's all he wants to do is doing it the right way. This organization is built by doing it the right way, and I look at it, this is going to be good. This is going to be good for the organization. Whether we trade one of our picks at 12, and let's just say we stay at 12-4, and we decide to trade one of those picks, you know what? I'm all for this, man. I'm all for the opportunity that we have right now to make this team better for right now and also in the future, or just sticking to what we have. And like, Sam Presti knows what's best and what we need on this team. So again, we can sit here and you and I can throw ideas back and forth, but that's all they are, Mark. You know, like, anyone that's listening, obviously Mark's my opinion sometimes truly matters, and sometimes it's just a bunch of bullshit. But right now, like, this is where we're at, is that we're trying to figure out exactly where this pick is going. And that is why it's important to us to see what's happening in the future for this Oklahoma City Thunder team. So I'm stoked, Mark. I don't really care where it lands. Like last year we did the live show, which I'm sure we'll do this year with the lottery as the live show. And like the second we found out we got number six, I just remember feeling deflated, you know, like, oh shit. Oh, okay. But then time given, we recognized that number six, we would be able to get the person we truly wanted. And that's what mattered.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even feel like I was deflated at six. I felt like emotionally detached from it. It was like, all right, these are just the facts. Like, it didn't feel like it was any different than what I anticipated. It was like, look, we want obviously there to be a better result than that. But like, if you're invested in it, you know, that's when it starts to really hurt. And
yeah,
with this, I'm like, all right, we kind of knew we'd have pretty good lottery odds. We're right around where we were last year. And, you know, we know that we can fall out of the spot we have. And we also know we've got a damn good chance to move up with a 12.5% chance to get number one. Like, how many times can you do that before you end up, you know, where the odds are in your favor, right? So we'll play this game again. And it's nice that it's a week away. It's really nice that there's some great NBA basketball going on. I definitely have some catching up to do. I was busy over the weekend, but it's nice when there's only a few games each day because you can catch up pretty fast. So I'm going to catch up on that and looking forward to tonight's games, bro. I mean, could be all these series tied up at four after tonight. You know, I mean, tied up at two after tonight. So you never know.
Yeah, man. It'll be exciting. I like it. Let's hope that the ex-Thunder players do well tonight, because I would like to see some of them in the finals.
Hell yeah, man. And we appreciate everybody taking the time to join us. We're going to see you on Wednesday, so thanks again. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.